Hi there, everybody. Winter driving season. I know it's raining today, but just work with me. All right. It is winter. Reckless drivers are everywhere. You've seen the accidents. Last week, we got two snowflakes. There were 17 pileups. If you are injured in an auto accident, there is one attorney you need to hire. It's David Feminino. Pick up the phone right now. You can talk to David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. 855-65-CRASH, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yes. Yes, Sam Darnold is. Hi, everybody. The band is together. Kenny's turquoise t-shirt matches our mood. It's just perfection. Kenny, it's very light. It's very vacation-like. Rico's back. David, what a journey. Listen, Rico, more about what you were telling me in the break later. I'm not done. I'm not done hearing that. Oh, my. Rico is filling me in on some news of the day. So, Rico, let me do this. So, Friday, you're on vacation, and David and I and then TJ joined us.
Yes, I saw the show sheet.
Well, I told you, get the F out of here and go enjoy your day. I saw the little Rico Beard tab in there. I'm like, MF, get out of here. So, listen. We talked about a couple of things. We opened up and we talked about the Anzalone comments. And I'm like, well, look, here's the deal. If you're going to give up 33 a week, it's not dumb and it's not BS. Like, no, that won't get it done. The defense has to get better. And we talked about, okay, well, what's the way forward? So David and I said it and I go, we're going to have TJ validate these things. I said, I think the only way out is for Aaron Glenn to look at the fourth quarter against San Francisco and at great personal risk. And what I mean by that is if this doesn't work, people are going to want to launch him out of a cannon and it might hurt him getting jobs, which is wrong because I've defended Aaron Glenn to the point of being a slappy. Apparently my point is you drop your nuts. You're going blitz and we're going blitz again. It's going to be a college student, 7 beers deep playing Madden, engage eight, blitz. Now, why? Well, you can't win a game of this magnitude with a ginger. Sam Darnold holds on to the football. I told you.
There's no scientific data on that. But you know what? After that performance, I got nothing to say. But I cannot defend it.
No, but it's also, Rico, it's about the people of this city. This is the other thing we talked about Friday. I said, you guys are going to play a major role in this game. You're going to cause at least 3 penalties. Check, including ending their first drive from like 2nd and 3 to 2nd and 8. It ended them. But the moment was way too big for Darnold. But what I loved is this, and I want your take on this. Look, the offense didn't have a great night. The defense rose up, and I think this was the perfect huckleberry for them to get right, meaning, okay, we're going to just overwhelm Sam Darnold. And Darnold is going to hold the football. Rio, they blitzed at like a 70% clip. And they pressured it like a 55 or 60% clip. Aaron Glenn doing that. Do you know the amount of assistants that would play it safe, that wouldn't do what Aaron Glenn was doing, or would have a head coach who wouldn't empower them to do it? Mm-hmm. And it was almost like Aaron Glenn lovingly whispered in Kevin O'Connell's ear, I'm going to effing kill you. Mm-hmm. Okay, have a great game out there, coach. And then he slapped him on the back like Harbaugh and Schwartz and wrecked him. And look, it's not Lions fans' problem that Sam Darnold couldn't hit the broadside of a barn or that O'Connell apparently doesn't care about screen passes. The point is, there was going to come a moment the defense had to do something. They did something. Do I think this is going to be the result moving forward? No, because holding teams to 9 points? No, the best defense in football won't do that. But man, at least we know, all right, Aaron Glenn not only has that Sharpie in his pocket, but he was willing to do it in the biggest game of the millennium. I couldn't be happier because, Rico, the offense wasn't that good.
It wasn't.
Goff was a space cadet in the first half.
Right. He wasn't quite Texans, and maybe Sunday night games are just not for him.
Who, Goff?
Yeah. Because they were like, yeah, he's thrown 7 picks, at least on Sunday night games. I'm like, you know what? You're right. But, yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Titans game, where they won, and they won big. Offense wasn't great, but it was the defense, and it was the special teams in that game. But the fact that they kept bringing blitz after blitz after blitz and just the pressure, and you saw Sam Darnold was hearing footsteps. He was seeing things that weren't there. He was rushing throws. He was overthrowing wide receivers. One of the times they were down in the end zone, and I think they ended up going for it and not getting it.
He missed Jefferson wide open.
It was Jefferson wide open. Mike, there was another time, another series.
Addison on the pick play.
It was a pick play, didn't get called, perfectly executed. He's standing there. He looked at him and said, no.
But I think that's Aaron Glenn heating him up a little bit. Look, you and I both know he holds the football. We talked about it last week.
And you know what? It solidified. Like, Sam Darnold lived up to a stereotype yesterday. And it was like, dude.
Soulless ginger.
No, not that. He was born that way. He has a soul. But.
Does he?
The fact that he held onto the ball and it's just like, guys, if you throw a screen. You're going to eat this team alive because they're bringing so much pressure. And even when you stepped aside from it, it was because Sam Darnold's game is escape the pocket, chuck it deep. He almost plays playground football. There is no quick throws because I'm thinking, wait, this is the same defense that Purdy carved up? How is this happening? And then I realized what you had often said. He's holding on to the ball way too long. You can't get down to the 5-yard line 4 times and come away with 6 points. That's why you lost. It's the field goals get you beat early in the game. The defense stepped up because I kept saying, this defense, I said, if they can get 3 stops, whether it's turnover on downs, a turnover, or even if you force them to kick a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown, it's a win.
Did you find it interesting? It was almost like Dan Campbell was inside Kevin O'Connell's head with some of these decisions. Like, hey, I know the Lions are going to go for it.
And he went for it early? Yeah. It was like, dude, that's not you. That's not your game.
It was wild.
That's like, what you need an assistant to say. Well, what are we doing? No, let's not play their game. Let's just take the 3 points. We're going to go for it. No, we're not.
So, no, look, obviously, this has nothing to do with entertainment value, okay? The game of the millennium, not so much. But the result, this now, to me, puts them back on the track. Like, if they had lost this game, they were not making a Super Bowl. Winning it now, this bye week, especially, you see towards the end, Zeitler grabbing his hamstring. Mm-hmm. He did not look happy.
No.
And I understand Bobby Mahogany and, you know, Coyote Abodi or whatever his name is, fine.
Al Quadeen.
Bob Muhammad. I texted TJ that during the game. Also, TJ, what are you doing on your phone during the game? TJ, just firing text back and forth.
I thought he was texting you.
He was.
Oh.
Because I was
the cameras caught it.
I'm like, Bob Muhammad, MF.
Al Quadeen.
But look, here's my question, right, as we sit here today.
But they looked like they earned the number one seed, but they looked like the number one
seed
yesterday.
They looked like a team that was much, much better than the team they were fighting against for the one seed.
Because before that game, had they won, they were going to get it, but they really hadn't earned it as of late. Yesterday, they took it, and it was just like, yep, you are. And on top of that,
can you take Aaron Glenn's play sheet and just frame it?
No.
Could that be one of the banners next to, like, the old participation trophy banners they had? Aaron Glenn game plan, and
No.
You know what I'm saying, David?
You need the photo of him with the arms folded and the legs spread out on the bench.
Yeah.
Just like, yep.
But yeah, I
you
just
couldn't stop me.
I think what I like is, again, a lot of times in sports, you think you know what a team has to do to win, but the team itself isn't willing because it's dangerous. Like, if Aaron Glenn ran that game plan and they got 40 put on him, these phone lines would be full with people wanting to slander the guy. But you can't live that way. You can't coach that way. And I think Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn both know if we're going to survive this, because we're out of bodies, this is how we have to play. Mm-hmm. And Amik Robertson played the best game I think he's capable of playing. Does it look better because Darnold couldn't hit the broadside of a barn? Of course it does. Right. You know, if Darnold uncorks it to Addison, that's a touchdown. The point is, your pressure plays a role. If you're going to play this way, do I think it will be foolproof? No. Do I think it will look this way every game? Absolutely not.
But for this particular game, it was one of the most impressive game plans and executions against the soulless ginger that I think you'll ever see in the history of football. But I told you, Sam Darnold's Rudy Poo ass was not walking in here and beating you. Now, I admit it, I didn't pick him to blow them out, but I picked him to win the game, and I thought it'd be lower scoring. Mm-hmm. But hell, I didn't realize Sam Darnold was going to play blindfolded. He was like Sandra Bullock in that movie.
Well, it wasn't just that, man. It was like
Bird Box.
Wow.
That was Sam Darnold last night. Don't take off your blindfold, son. Whee!
And then it was just cascading, because even when you got it to 7-6, and okay, just kick the ball off, the Lions will take a knee, you'll go into half, you're only down one, you kick it out of bounds, boom, 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 and Jake Bates, another three, now you're down 10-6.
But you know what that reminded me of? Is that was like a Patriots thing. Like when the Patriots are winning all their Super Bowls, or the Chiefs, if you want to say it. Like, that's what winning teams do. You're going to make a little mistake. All right, watch this. We'll grab 24 yards, and we're going to take care of business, and we're just going to do the business. Yeah. And it's like, that gives me faith that if the defense is not going to be helpless like they were the last 5 weeks, yeah, why can't this thing be back on track? And I feel like the bye week's going to help them. We got to get a report on Terry and Arnold beyond x-rays negative, and it's in God's hands. I'm going to need it in a doctor's hands, respectfully. And then we've got to see what the deal. Obviously, Zeitler, a lesser concern in that we've seen the backup guards play well, but they need a bye week, and they need some rest, and they get to kick back. And yes, do I believe there's a chance you play Minnesota again? Maybe. I think the Rams are going to beat them. I told you, the team who loses this game, I'm picking against them. Mm-hmm. I think the Rams are going to beat the Vikings.
If you're a Lions, I think you
don't want to see them a third time.
I think you actually want the Vikings to win, because
play them again.
Because normally I would say you can't beat a team three times in a year. I think you can. Because it's mental.
How would Darnold come back to this building after last night?
2 weeks later?
No way.
No, he couldn't. Like, they are mentally fried.
He dyed his hair, maybe.
They are It's not just him. It's O'Connell, it's everybody. When it's the receivers, like, well, they're too rough with us, and they do this. Like, the Lions are so far in the Vikings' head that they stop playing football. That's not the same Viking team that I saw win 14 games.
No, it's funny you say it too, Rico. You brought up the before halftime thing, and then the Lions drive out of the half, the 13 plays or whatever it was. Like, we sit here, you do 20 hours of radio a week or 25 hours a week. And they broke them, or they did that. I'm pretty sure whether you were at the game or watching the game at home, like, you felt the air come out of the Vikings balloon mm-hmm. before half. They had the one shot of O'Connell where he's like, what are we doing here?
Right, because it's that person that goes from, gambling to betting, or betting to gambling, where all of a sudden they just stop being responsible and they just start, just double it down. And you're just trying to chase your winnings. That's where Minnesota was. And by the time the Gibbs, I think, scored the second touchdown, that was ball game. And I think they knew that it was ball game. And then it was like, okay, now we got to start going for it. Now, you took them out of their element. Oh, by the way, they forgot. We probably can run the ball with some success. Nah, let's not do that.
Listen, I mean, obviously, I'm thrilled the Lions won the game. And I think it gives me the confidence I need to move forward going, okay, we got about a coin flip shot of doing this. That's what the one seed gets you. I still believe there's going to be a game. You'll play a real quarterback and you will get shredded, and your O is going to have to carry you. Welcome to trying to win a Super Bowl. But Rico, you nailed it. I mean, the Vikings averaged almost 7 yards a carry. If you want to swap out the 50-yard run, they averaged 4.5 yards a carry. Yeah, no, there's some holes to be had here. But at least I know Aaron Glenn is willing to go to the mattresses, and he is willing to do what most defensive coordinators won't do. So I loved it.
I think
because I said it Friday. I don't care about being right. I just love that they were willing. I love that they were willing, and most people aren't.
What warmed my heart the most, Mike, was the text message. You said that Purdy was better than
That's Donald. How little I think of soulless gingers. 248-539-9797.
And I was like,
Purdy over Darnold. Yes.
At that point, I was Aaron Glenn. I sat back on the couch like, yep, I'm good.
Done. 248-539-9797. We'll talk to the venerable Kenny Cott, David Hall, and get to you guys next as the Lions get the one seed. So mission accomplished. One down, three to go.
97.1.
All right. David with Mythbusters. 14 playoff teams. 14 things that aren't true. We have to either agree or disagree. Rapid fire. Let's go.
Yep, so we're going to start in the AFC with the 7-seed Denver Broncos, the myth. The Broncos upgraded at quarterback in a big way in 2024.
That's the myth?
Yeah, they're saying it's not a myth on when you continue reading. They're saying the defense has really been the difference, not the quarterback is why they're different.
I'm going to disagree with it. I think Bo Nix has been exceptional for a rookie, both with his feet, his arm, huge fourth down touchdown to even tie the game in Cincy.
Especially better than the bum they had last year. I don't know where he ended up.
I'm going to disagree. I mean, look, the defense, obviously, they play more man than anybody. They blitz more than anybody. But Bo Nix, how about
Bo
this?
Bo Nix looks like somebody you can build your team around.
Right. They trade Jerry Jeudy. He reignites Cortland Sutton's career. I'm going to disagree.
6-seed, Pittsburgh Steelers. The myth says the Steelers have an elite defense.
That's a myth.
The reason why they say it's not a myth is because they say it's good, not elite.
Yeah. No, that's... Their greatness is associated with teams that don't play there no more. I think it's a good defense. I don't think it's great. Agree?
Yeah, did just enough to make the playoffs again.
Anytime I needed him to make a big stop this year, it didn't happen.
You're exactly right about that. Against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, last play of the game. Yeah. Nothing. No better way to lose a bet than the last play of the game.
Stay up late for that delay and you get that.
Just keep reading.
The 5th seed in the Chargers. Myth, Jim Harbaugh's coaching has elevated quarterback Justin Herbert to another level.
They're saying that's a myth.
That's a myth, yes.
I'm going to disagree. The running game's been bad. Tell me you heard this before. J.K. Dobbins got hurt. Gus Edwards got hurt. They can't do anything on first down. It's continually 2nd and 9. I think Harbaugh's had a positive effect on Herbert.
Yeah, and what, if I'm reading correctly, they just signed Zeke Elliott? To join the playoff team?
He's going to be in the playoff team.
Yeah, but I think that he has helped Herbert. I think that he gave Herbert structure. I think it was always there for him, but he taught Herbert how to be a quarterback.
Myth for the 4th seed in the AFC, the Houston Texans. The injuries to Tank Dell and Steph Diggs sank the Texans' offense.
That's fact.
Yeah.
That's not fiction. That's fact.
And they're saying that's a myth?
Yeah. The reason why they're saying it's a myth is saying the offense has plenty of other problems, not just them.
I will say this. I do think that C.J. Stroud got gun-shy, that he didn't want to get another receiver hurt, so he stopped throwing leading passes. He stopped leading the receivers. It was only safe throws that he knew you're not going to take a beating after you catch the ball. That's what hurt this team. He stopped being the C.J. Stroud that he was last year and earlier this year.
Baltimore Ravens, 3-seed. The Ravens aren't built to come from behind.
Okay, here's me defending Lamar. It's been the greatest season of his career. This is, you want to talk all or nothing. If he falls short again and turns into a pumpkin in the playoffs, his story's written in my world. Yeah. Or he's been good enough to carry the mail. They can beat you with the run. They can beat you with the pass. I'm going to say it's a myth. I think they've gotten this thing where it needs to be. And if Lamar is really the MVP, he should be able to lead a team on the comeback trail.
See, I don't even think MVP means anything to him because it's really about the Super Bowl. He's won MVPs before, but he loses. But, yeah, I look at this team and the fact that he's doing it with his arm, the fact that he can scramble around and keep running and hold the ball for 6, 7, 8 seconds and then finds that open receiver, yeah, I do think they can come back. Now, once with Derrick Henry, they can bury you if they get the lead, but they could also come back.
Buffalo Bills 2-seed. Quarterback Josh Allen doesn't have any elite playmakers around him on offense. The reason why they're saying it is a myth is because they have James Cook being that elite
and
playmaker.
I might take some heat for this, but whatever. I think Dalton Kincaid, when healthy, is an elite tight end option. So he's got
James
a couple.
James Cook really elite?
I think so. He's a beast. Okay. Look, man, once they got Joe Brady there and they if you – and please, by no means, don't waste your life doing this. But if you wanted to nerd out – go back to the week Joe Brady took over play calling and look at Cook's numbers since. He's been a top 5 back in the league.
Okay.
And he's got great hair.
I mean, who are we kidding?
It's all about the hair.
Kansas City Chiefs, this is the worst Chiefs offense since Patrick Mahomes became the starting quarterback.
Factual. That's not a myth.
I agree. It's not.
And look, they've gotten, you know, Hollywood Brown back. I'm sorry if I don't think that Marquise Brown is going to be the difference maker. It's a terrible offense. Kelce, just retire already. Hell, go on tour with Taylor.
Well, you know what? No. I think with Kelce, he finally got in football shape. It took almost the entire season, but you're now seeing the Kelce that we thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year because he was awful. That's from all the traveling, flying the world. I don't think he was serious. Why is that? They're saying what? There was a team worse, David?
They're saying they had a worse offensive year last year is what they're trying to say here.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, because they had to go out and get Xavier Worthy because they didn't have that big play wide receiver. Okay, I could kind of see that.
Let's move over to the NFC 7-seed Green Bay Packers, the myth. The Packers can't get to the Super Bowl because they can't beat the top teams in the NFC.
That is not a myth.
That's not a myth.
They are 1-5 in their own division.
And lost to the Eagles. So, yeah, 0-2 against the Vikings, 0-2 against the Lions, 0-1 against Philly. Sorry. And by the way, should have gone 0-2 against the Bears. Remember the one win and how they won?
Oh, yeah, it was the block.
Field goal with like 1 second to go. Imagine. They should have gone winless in their own division. They shouldn't even be in the playoffs.
So, yeah.
I'm disgusted by Green Bay.
So, yeah, if they have to play with the Eagles, the Lions, or the Vikings, they won't make it. Good luck with that. Oh, you start with the Eagles. Okay.
Now, again, that depends on Jalen Hurts' health. Still in protocol, but yes.
Okay, but here's the thing. Let's say you beat the Eagles. Guess who you play next? Detroit.
Yeah.
So, yes. No, you're not going to win.
The 6-seed Washington Commanders, the myth. The Commanders are in trouble if they have to play an elite running team. They say it's a myth because they are 8-3 when allowing 120 or more rushing yards in a game.
They're in trouble because they got a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's really what this is.
Yeah, the playoffs
about.
Are a different game.
That's it.
I think what you're going to see is the Commanders may do what the Texans did last year with C.J. Stroud. Maybe have some fun in a game. They'll win a game, but then after that, playoffs are a whole different animal, and I don't expect them to go more than just they may win the first one. I don't expect anything after that.
5th seed Minnesota Vikings, the myth they say is the Vikings are the same mirage they were in 2022.
That's not a myth. This is a carbon copy. The only difference is you got a ginger instead of Kirk Cousins. Period.
You know what? I won that bingo card.
It's the same damn thing. 2022, they went like 8-1 in one score games. 2024, go look at what they did. And at the end of it, they are fraudulent because the quarterback.
How is it a myth?
They're saying it's a myth because the defense is better than that team.
Really? Jahmyr Gibbs just scored again.
He's really good, but I get what you're saying.
Look, I like the defense, but come on, man. Really?
The Rams, the 4th seed in the NFC, the myth, they say the Stafford-Nakua connection is the key to the Rams' offense. Now, they're saying it's a myth because Kyren Williams is the real engine to the offense.
I agree with this. Mm-hmm. The physicality of that running game is the thing nobody talks about. They only focus on Stafford and weapons, mm-hmm. but it's the running game. I'm going to agree with this take.
Yeah, because that frees up Nakua and Kupp into single coverage, and then they end up making the catches. Or, as TJ likes to say, how the bleep are they always open?
The 3-seed in the NFC, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the myth. Tampa Bay is inflated by playing in a weak division.
Why is it not a myth?
It's not a myth because in the Lions 15-2, you know who one of those two losses are to?
Bucks.
The Bucks.
That's what I said.
Where? Ford Field.
It's a myth because they are 10-7. That's not inflated and they beat good teams.
And here's the other thing. The injuries all year have tailed them too, including like now. Yeah, I didn't have on my bingo card one of my starting safeties nearly dying in a car accident. Whitehead's going to be out for weeks, might be out for the whole playoffs. Antoine Winfield's been banged up all year. They've had injuries. Offensive line was a disaster earlier in the year. Remember they had like a fourth-string tackle that Hutchinson got like 4 sacks on? It's been all year. But you know what they've discovered? This is where the Bucs are terrifying. This Bucky Irving's a real problem.
Yep.
They found a gem of a running back in the mid-rounds. He is a real, real problem.
The number two seed in the NFC, Philadelphia Eagles, the myth that says running back Saquon Barkley has been the difference maker between last season's Eagles and this season.
Myth, defense.
That's what they're, yep. That's
their defense is that, hey, you don't have Matt Patricia calling your place.
Vic Fangio's made a huge difference.
All the Bulldogs showed up.
I think they simplified things a little bit. The play more too high. It just, and Rico's right, they have pedigree. Like they, look, Jordan Davis is a legit, he's a really good football player. Jalen Carter, they have the defensive linemen. Look what they did in the secondary. Drafting Quinyon Williams, drafting Cooper DeJean. Look, they've added these high-end players. Mm-hmm. And it's the defense.
They're bringing back CJ. And
Saquon is great, but that's, we don't pay running backs.
Get yourself in trouble.
Finally, the Detroit Lions myth. Quarterback Jared Goff is great only because of the great players around him.
Why is it not a myth, David?
It's not a myth because it's actually Ben Johnson. They made him great.
They're saying this is a myth because of his completion percentage over expectation, which is plus 4.3%, shows that he's making good decisions, not just because of the players around him.
The problem I have is you could say it about any quarterback. Like, what quarterback is doing it with next to no help? Hey, come on. You got to have some help. It's like being Cade Cunningham with no help around you. You're not going to win a title. I think it all has to work together. So I get a little upset because, okay, again, take a quarterback and strip away their best weapons. Would they be great? No. Why do you think Mahomes is having a terrible year?
Yeah, they're kind of just reaching with this myth here.
That's because the Lions are just really good altogether. But I thought it'd be a fun little playoff primer with myths and truths and the rest. Myth, you can't win a game of any importance with a ginger.
Or yeah. Russell Wilson.
That is, okay, that's fact.
Mr. Danger.
You can win a game with a redheaded.
Let's not run out of bounds when we need to.
David,
George Pickens is a mature young man.
No, George Pickens shows up in big games.
Woo, wonderful. That is.
Nobody gets one catch like George Pickens.
Your myth.
Sufficient.
Football today.
You know, for a moment, I thought David's head was going to explode there. Tremendous. Good on you. All right, we got a lot to do. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything. Don't forget our YouTube channel. Subscribe and like it. Villainy Show with Rico. It is a standalone. Talked a little Pistons, Red Wings yesterday. Did a lot of Lions. Yeah, they're in a Super Bowl drive. That takes precedence. So I want to bring something up. There are moments I think we have epiphanies in life. And while the rest of this show will be football-based, I wanted to take a segment and see if people think I'm insane or more insane. So I'm a big believer, whether it is the workplace, a family, the town you're from, you're allowed to critique those things if you're in it. So, for instance, we live in Detroit. We get to take our town to task on stuff, right? Like, right. You bitch about certain things, like you don't see the sun for 90 days.
The roads.
Our roads blow. Whatever it may be, right? We get to say that, but we get upset when other people say it. Okay.
Yes, that family mentality.
Right. But today I've had an epiphany. For all of the complaining all of us, myself included, do. The winters, you don't see the sun. Our roads are a disgrace, but let's not even get into it. What if I told you I have arrived at a conclusion in the formative stages of 2025, in my 44th year on this planet? We live in the best place in America. And it's not because Detroit's any good. Let's not get it twisted. No, no. No, see, we're just the least sucky of the suckitude. We, looking at what's going on in California with these fires.
Okay, not sports-wise. You're talking general life-wise.
I'm talking life.
Gotcha.
Here's the list of things we don't deal with here. For one, headlines reading, Hurricane of Fire. I don't know if you've seen it, but Pacific Palisades isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. Malibu's on fire. Just, yeah. Terror. Photos from airplanes where it looks like Rico's aliens have struck. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have tornadoes. We don't have flooding. We don't have bugs the size of Tyrannosaurus rexes. We don't have wildfires. Yes, our winter blows, But you know what I know with a certainty? That when all of us go home tonight, you know what will be there? Your house. I maybe I've lowered the bar too much, but like as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what? No. This is actually a great place to live.
I'm with you. You don't have to deal with the flooding. I mean, I think the biggest disaster we've saw, and I don't know when the last time you've been up to East Lansing, but a tornado touched down like around mile marker 120, and you could see where it touched, it hit the freeway.
Did it take Spartan Stadium?
No.
Damn it.
All right.
Okay. My bad. I'm sorry. Give me my one mulligan.
You set it up right on a tee.
Just, yeah, come on, dude. Ping. Just, that's the mulligan. That's my mulligan today. That's it.
But no, there's no flooding. There's no anything like that. There's no power grid going out like it is in the state of Texas, where you just sit, we're going to have our own energy.
We don't have a border crisis.
There's no congestion toll.
Yeah, Kenny bringing it up.
What?
How about every time you drive into Manhattan, they get you for a $10 bill on the old flock cam? Dude, none of it.
No border crisis because really Canada is like, you guys, we don't want you here.
Well, we don't want them here.
Right, I'm just saying, it's not like anybody's trying to sneak in or out. Like, yeah, you're good.
But this California thing, in all seriousness, if you watch any of the news or if you just saw articles, or I'm sure social media is all over stuff like this, I've arrived at a point, you know what? Occasionally I'll complain about where we live. This is the best place on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miami is sinking. Because you can't win.
I mean, because here's the thing. No, you can just buy an extra coat, put on an extra sweater. You stay warm. You're cold. That's it. Snow. Okay. Don't go out there and shovel snow if you have a heart condition. But other than that, snow generally doesn't kill you.
I've heard that.
But everything else does. And yes, you are right. It's not extreme heat. It's nothing like that. Because when I saw the video, the initial video of the fires, I'm actually looking at it like, oh, it's a new movie coming out this summer.
Yeah, no.
So I'm watching it like, okay, it's a disaster movie. And then I'm like, wait, this is real?
Yeah. And it's yearly. Oh, by the way, their fire hydrants don't have any water. Things are going great. Oh, and a lot of insurance companies pulled fire insurance 4 or 5 months ago in the state of California. So,
and unfortunately,
things are going smashingly.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we'll be doing this again in California next year because the fires combined with the Santa Ana winds, dangerous combination.
Doppler Rico strikes again. Yes, David.
No, I was going to tell the people. So there are over 3,000 plus acres that are on fire. Another 1,000 homes and businesses have been destroyed. And it's still going. It doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, and then, David, we were listening. It started in a fire in somebody's backyard.
Yeah, a fireman was on TV last night and said that it started as a small fire in someone's backyard. And then the winds just took over. And it hit the hills and it just kept going.
Are these people, they're not smart because it's dry. No, but I'm saying in places like that, it's dry. So they decide they're going to burn things. It's like, no, that's not a good idea because once the fire starts, because the ground is so dry, it's going to spread like that. And then it gets out of hand. And then it's like, I'm sorry. And it's like, yes, you burned down half the state.
But can you come to a conclusion this is actually the best place to live? I'm being serious. Now, we have the best football team. That has to count for something. We do have college sports that people care about. You don't get that in a lot of big towns. Mm. We do have, new coach bump on ice, and you got a new coach bump on the hardwood. We talked Pistons a little bit yesterday. The Tigers made the playoffs. That's factual. We may not be in love with their build, but they did. Yeah. I know. Our roads are terrible. I get it.
No, but the positive is there's tons of lakes around here. There's water. You can hang out in the summertime. You can have fun.
You can keep that. The
really?
I don't care about that. It's too much work. The whole the water lake thing. It's too much work. I had a buddy who owned the boat. I mean, by the time he started the thing up and cleaned it, and then you gas up, and then you go out, and then you bring it back, and you got to wipe it down, and you got to store it. I don't have time for that.
Hold on. 20 minutes. Yeah. 20-second timeout.
Yes.
Let your buddy do all that.
Yeah, I know.
What time do I need to be there?
Well, I understand that, but he ended up selling because he was like, this is the worst purchase of my life. Look, I digress. It's just the water.
Having fun? No.
No, I like to look at the water. I don't need to be involved in the water.
Just, yes. It's just an element that you can add on
okay.
to living here.
I never used to think this way, but now the conveniences of living in Metro Detroit, I'm like, you know what? Here's the other thing. I ain't telling you anything's a great deal around here. There are no great deals. But go look at the taxes in places like California. Forget about what's on the screen right there, which looks like a nuclear bomb went off.
It looks like a volcano.
Yes. Yes.
It does look like a volcano. Looks like lava is pouring out.
I think Detroit should be rising up the power ranks. No wildfires, no floods, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no massive bugs the size of armadillos, no power grid failures.
How about say, and in the grand scheme of things, the cost of living is not like astronomical
right
here.
There's no great deals, but compared to other places, I mean, Kenny just brought it up. Imagine you driving into work every day, they're banging you $10 a day.
Okay, when you told me that, I was just like, wait, so it's what, a month? You were like, no, it's daily.
It's every day.
Daily.
Correct.
So I couldn't imagine if you are, you know, an Uber driver or something like that, I got to get a new route.
Oh, I can't do this. Oh, they're just going to pass the savings on to you. What do you mean it's $38 to go 6 blocks? Dude, we don't have none of that. I know. Our roads are a blessing unto ourselves. And I know we don't see the sun very often.
Yeah.
But, all things considered, we don't do... I know... All of our domiciles will be there when we get home this evening. You can't say that in California, Florida, Texas. You can't. New York, forget it.
Yeah, because Texas, I mean, they came out already talking about the Cotton Bowl and how it may be problems with the game because of the weather.
What, the air quality?
No, just the weather and the storms. Because they're not equipped.
That's inside, isn't it?
It is, but the outside, getting to the game.
They're not equipped
with, because these are places where, the snow that we got yesterday will shut the city down. They don't know how to handle it. For us, we're just like, a little bit of snow. All right, well, I'm going to go to the store, go grab. You run your hands.
Yeah, I don't
it's
even
no
think
big
about
deal.
It.
In Texas, a quarter of an inch of snow will shut down an entire
city.
Well,
that's the other thing is nobody's got, a lot of people, they don't bother with all-season tires. They certainly don't buy winters. So, yeah, if they're on slicks and it goes below freezing, whee! All right, see you a quarter mile down the road there, Bob. David, do you think it is too much? Have I gone too far?
No, I don't think so.
I woke up feeling blessed and unstoppable today because we don't deal with what's on TV.
See, I used to hate the winter. I couldn't stand it. Every time it got cold, I just, oh my gosh, I want
to
be somewhere else.
You don't have to like it, though. What I'm saying is it is more tolerable when you put it in the context of other places.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't complain about that stuff anymore because I don't have to deal with, I got to board my house up and I got to move again or get out of here because a hurricane's on its way or the fires are coming close. And Rico, me and you were talking before the show, you basically got to have a go bag.
Yeah.
Ready go bag with your medicine, everything you need so that, you know what? Fire's here. We got to go.
Fire's here. Let's grab all the important paperwork we need, photos,
money.
Did you
see the roads being blocked by people who ditched their cars in the evacuation?
Yes. Yeah. There was actually a video, forgot the actor's name, but he was helping move some of those vehicles so the firemen can get through. So they can actually fight the fire because there's cars, you're right, in the middle of the street.
Oh, that's the other thing.
What?
Aside from 94, the congestion on the road is not that bad like it is in L.A., where you're just going to be sitting in traffic no matter what. Chicago, D.C.,
Boston,
New York.
I'm traffic in Florida right now, anywhere between the Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Miami. You draw a giant triangle.
Yeah.
But even if you just took Fort Lauderdale to Miami, you're in Manhattan. Both, it's all New Yorkers, but it's also the traffic.
We just got the 9-4.
And we'll live with it. And the blue arches. Listen, I just wanted to know if anybody, and we're going to get to the Lions. We have got so much football to do today. But we were talking pre-show about this. You know, Rico was less insulting today. This is actually the best place to live. We don't deal with any of the calamities that David yaps about in the Bible.
No, you don't have to sit in a swimming pool and wait for the firemen to come and rescue you.
Also true.
I mean, I'm not making that up. People have to actually do that.
No floods, no tropical storms, no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no wildfires. You know, we don't have a migrant crisis here. I don't know. I don't feel too bad about it. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But in the context,
still no mass transit.
We don't have anything.
Every time I hit a pothole, I'll say, you know what? No big deal. I'm good. I don't have a hurricane or whatever.
Great. David, if it's changing a tire versus changing your house because your current one is rubble, yeah, you know what? Maybe that is the right viewpoint.
But you're right. Nobody else has the queue line. All right. 248-539-9797.
Come on, don't spoil it. We're feeling good about living in Detroit here.
Oh, I get a mulligan. You got one.
Okay. I'm just saying, I don't think there's anything wrong with...
No, I, that's the only thing. I wish
if
we had...
If a tornado hit Spartan Stadium, would it blow down?
I wish... No. I wish we had mass transit. Oh, no, I only say that because I remember when the one almost took out Brian Denny in Alabama, where it literally danced around it. And I was just like, oh, my God. I don't know if you ever saw that video.
No.
But I was watching it live. It was years ago when the tornado came through Tuscaloosa, and it kissed the stadium. Like, wow.
Just one alien laser beam.
Okay.
Just on Spartan Stadium.
Okay, here's
nowhere
the thing.
Else.
Spartan Stadium would get torn down, and then you would complain, we don't have a football stadium.
No, I would laugh. It'd actually be quite funny, because then you and Alan would have your dream of playing every game at Ford Field. All right, we'll get to some football a little later. Nothing really, no big news today. I think yesterday we did a good job of kind of centering on Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, hell, Chris Spielman getting a call for the Jets. I think today the only news was Deshae Townsend, your DB coach.
The O-line coach also with the Seahawks for the offensive coordinator.
Oh, Hank Fraley?
Yeah.
Okay, so look, guys, this is the cost of being good. People are circling. But Deshae Townsend, that is San Francisco, D.C., correct?
Correct.
So we'll keep an eye on it. We hammered Lions conversation first 3 days of the week. We can get into it in the 5 o'clock a little bit with the kickoff to football fiesta. I want to ask one question, though. You know, new coach bump for the Wings as they beat the Senators 5 in a row. And the Pistons have a game. They're favored against the Warriors tonight. And they can get above 500. Mike, here's my question.
No, they are.
They are 19 and 18. Yeah. You're right. So here's my question. And I don't know if there's like this line of delineation. But what do you think it will take for either or both of these teams to enter the mindset of fans? Like, I just feel like the Lions have taken all the oxygen in the room. And maybe rightfully so. It's the NFL. We're on a Super Bowl quest. The easy answer for me is 2 weeks after whatever the Lions do or don't do is when people will emotionally, if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. If they lose, they don't make the Super Bowl. 2 weeks after whenever the Lions season ends.
The hangover's over.
The hangover ends and fans have to get out of bed and look for a brighter day. What will it take, though? Because, again, the NBA has major problems. Mm-hmm. I am an NBA fan. Year by year, my interest goes down. The product is horrible. Mm-hmm. It is. I'm not mad at anyone if they don't watch. The NBA has major issues. Why? Unlike hockey, I can't guarantee the players are going to try every night. Hockey's issue is nobody knows the players and they have a welfare network and it's hard to watch. The average person isn't sitting down to watch puck for 3 hours. It's just no one knows what Corsi is. We joke about Fenwick.
I'm about to say Kenny's pregame cable access show.
Your boy Grubauer was on TV the other day, Mike.
Listen, I only know Grubauer as a horse.
Yes.
But my point is, Kenny, what do you think it will take? Like, for instance, you can rep the Wings.
Sure.
What would it take for the Wings to become a storyline locally?
So what I would say is the Four Nations face off, the international tournament that they're doing this year in lieu of the All-Star break.
Oh, when is that? I won't be watching.
It is at the beginning of February. So what I think the answer to your question is put a good full month together. Put a month together of elevating yourself. You don't have to blow the world away. You just need to get into playoff contention. Do that. Be above 500 for a month. I think then you'll be like, this Wings team.
And when's the Nations Cup?
It starts February 12th.
God, so your league is clueless. So they start 3 days after the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You should start it 2 weeks before the Super Bowl because no one's going to be watching your sport anyways.
I agree. It's backwards.
All right, so we'll see the Wings in March is basically what you're telling
me. I'm saying we'll see the Wings in February.
Pistons, I wouldn't dare ask you.
No, I think for the Pistons, Mike.
I honestly think the Pistons, the only way they become a real story, if you care about like operating a business and generating revenue and ratings. April. No one watches the NBA regular season.
No, see, I think it's a little different. I think it's much along the line of what Kenny with the Wings is probably after the All-Star game if the Pistons are sitting north of 500. The reason being, you got Cade Cunningham, who's all of a sudden looking like he is a superstar. Like, this is his team. He's saying he wants his own chapter in Detroit. He's trying to embrace the city. If after the NBA All-Star game, which is Sunday, February 16th, that's when they're, you know, they're sitting 3-4 games above 500, Cade is lighting it up, I think then you'll start seeing, because what will happen is you'll start seeing the, well, you know,
right,
the playoff scenario and the play-in games and where they're at.
Here's what it is. Lightning bolt epiphany. Pistons have to make a trade. If the Pistons are featured as one of the teams that can acquire someone to put with Cade around that trade deadline, remember, the NBA trade deadline is still something that can be fun. But maybe that's what it is.
A trade?
That the Pistons would acquire a name, that it would mark the actual investment in Cade Cunningham, and not with teenagers, not with ill-prepared young players or NBA journeymen, some of which have helped you win. But Rico, in any piece you're watching with the NBA, and they're listing six teams, eight teams, 10 teams to watch for the trade deadline, Pistons are one of them. So maybe in order to kind of re-engage the mindset of this town, it would have to be a trade. That holy hell, the Pistons just acquired X, and they're putting him with Cade. Wait, the Pistons are not selling, they're buying? I think that might bring people back. Because face it, everything that's happening now, unless you're a dullard or you're just willfully ignorant, you know why people aren't paying attention. They're not paying attention because the Lions dominate society.
Correct. And that's why I'm not going to say, oh, they should, because, no. Look, man, we can only support one restaurant in this town. So asking them to look at more than one team is just too much to ask for people.
Jesus.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
Like, there's one hot restaurant, and we forget about all the other ones. Every other city, like, you can go to five. I don't know what it is about Detroiters. It's when they lock in on something, that's it. That's it. It takes them over.
So it's interesting because you all say different things, but I think you're kind of going hand in hand. Because if they make a deal, which is February 6th is the NBA trade deadline, then I think they're getting talked about at the All-Star break, which is a week later. They're getting talked about by, you know, Shaq and Charles and saying, oh, you know, the Pistons are actually a decent team, you know. They're the sixth seed or the fifth seed or whatever it is, because they made a deal, and that will create the buzz.
So is it one of the big names, Mike? Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it Zion?
I don't know, man. I don't want to go down the
Bradley Beal.
Definitely not. He has no trade clause. No, I guess, Rico, to me, I don't even want to do the names. I think it's just something about there's a validation if you're a fan of a team, or let's say you're fringy, right? The amount of hardcore NBA fans you could fit in a thimble in the city of Detroit. If you want to engage mass appeal, it has to be, wait, the Pistons are being talked about positively at the deadline. We're not selling.
Yeah.
We just acquired who? I think it's, and again, I'm not copping out. I don't want to get into names.
No, I guess what I'm saying is, did it need to be like a household name or just a major trade? Like, wow, Zion would move the needle. Because even fringe fans would be like, wait, Zion is coming to Detroit. Oh my goodness, you pair him with Cade. But yeah, you would know, like, yeah, is he going to play? But what, 10 games a year? Now, you're going to regret this.
Here's what's interesting. Did you see what Windhorst had to say?
No.
So Brian Windhorst, on one of his 8 million NBA shows, he had made a point that they could make a big move, okay? He says, this is now a team that could look to buy for itself and help themselves get into the playoffs, which is something that is very important in Detroit. He was going over their cap situation. He goes, J.B. Bickerstaff deserves a ton of credit. He's come in, young team. They were all over the place. He's come in, and they're guarding people, and they're respectable. So if they want to upgrade, here's why. No one can afford more than the Pistons. So this is their cap space, okay? So when Windhorst goes on to talk about it, they
could go all in. I'm not saying they should, but they need a culture player. Now, it's different in hockey where the wings are at with the cap, etc. The Pistons are in a marketplace where, think about being at a grocery store and it doesn't matter the cost of apples. No one is there with you to buy the apples. They can't afford it. You don't care what the apples cost. You're the only guy in the grocery store. You pick whatever apple you want. That's kind of the situation the Pistons are in. A lot of the other teams are like, well, damn, we want apples. Can't afford it. So, I think to answer the question, for me, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a trade. It's going to take that pop. Holy hell, did you see on ESPN, they spent 20 minutes talking Pistons move, breaking news sounder. Hey, this happened live on 97.1. And that's not a disrespect to the guys playing here. But I think if you want to get people actually interested, A, the Lions season has to end, and B, they need someone with Cade.
Yeah.
Is that a cop-out on my part?
No. No, I think it would spark interest because then people would, I hate to say it, remember that they do play downtown.
You hit that bell for me. Yeah, that's right. Unless you're deluded, the average Detroiter doesn't realize we have an NBA team. And there are plenty of deluded folks in this town.
We've changed to electronic music station, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Valenti Show with Rico, Stoney in for Mr. Valenti, 248-539-9797. It's so weird this week because the Lions, as you know, have a bye. We're just chilling out this weekend, watching a lot of football, including the college games. Ohio State, Texas tonight. We both, or at least I think Texas is going to get their doors blown off by Ohio State, unfortunately, but that's the way I see it. Rico sees it differently. All right. Now, we do want to go back to something we touched on briefly before we were blessed by the appearance of one TJ Lang. Yes. Rico was at the Breslin Center last night. And despite seeing a game where I think Washington scored like 13 points in the first half and Michigan State just crushed them, looking really good. You'd think, especially with all the alumni that were there, it was like an Izzone alumni game, and the place was packed and pumped up, even though it was just Washington, whatever. You'd think that maybe, you know, when the Spartans were doing something good, if you wanted to go back to the old days, to have a Mateen Cleaves chant or something like that, right? If you're going to chant anything.
Well, in all fairness, this was in the second half. Crowd was bored.
Right.
But this is broken. Jared Goff, and it's just like,
it's everywhere.
How long is this going to keep going? I get it. He's the Lions quarterback. And once again, if he's up on the Jumbotron, if they're showing his highlights, but just random, just, Stoney, let's get a Jared Goff chant. Like, come on, really? Really?
All right, let's go to the people. 248-539-9797.
Well, I know what the people are going to say.
No, he
can run for governor in this state.
I get that. There might be some people who agree with you.
Okay.
I think it's different because I just believe that the Jared Goff chant, believe it or not, well, it's because I'm weird. I don't think it's just about Jared Goff. I think it's just that's what symbolizes the Lions. And instead of out of a random Let's Go Lions chant at Little Caesars Arena or the Breslin Center or Chrysler, wherever, Jared Goff, that chant just encompasses all the, obviously, the Lions' success. And now that the other teams are doing good. Now, last year was kind of a joke because the other teams sucked. So, you know, you're sitting at LCA, the Wings are losing 4-0, and the Pistons are getting blown out. What else are we going to do? Jared Goff, we'll feel better about ourselves.
And here's the thing.
But now,
it reminded me of back in the day with the whole Detroit basketball. And you heard it. It's like, guys, Pistons aren't playing. Detroit basketball. Like, everybody had to say it. And I got tired of that, too.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I know.
Jared Goff thing, like, can we just wait until can he at least be in the building? Can he at least be present? Can we at least see his... David, how do you feel about this?
I agree with you. because when I got an, I was okay with it. I really was. No, I really was okay with it until the Detroit Pistons Minnesota Timberwolves game. What was it, about a week ago now?
Yes.
And Anthony Edwards scores 59 points or whatever he scored.
And Cade had 40.
And yet in the third quarter, when he's going head to head with Anthony Edwards, they're chanting Jared Goff. And that's when I got annoyed, because I'm like, look, this guy's balling out. The team is beating the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are a decent team right now. And they're chanting Jared Goff instead of chanting Detroit basketball or Cade Cunningham's name. It's getting ridiculous now.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. It is the symbol of Detroit sports, is that chant, no matter what sport. When Tarek, I mean, I guess during the Tigers, the people were yelling Scoob, that type of thing a little bit. But even the Tigers game, it's Jared Goff. He's the symbol of the city.
They're chanting Jared Goff's name. Brad Holmes was at the game last night.
Right.
They're chanting Jared Goff's name when they show him on the screen. No, that's Brad Holmes, not Jared Goff.
Well, he brought Jared Goff here.
They look alike.
I think it's
probably going to be an unpopular.
No, it's not. I don't think it's going to be as popular as you think.
If he's in the building, if he's on the Jumbotron, if they're showing you his highlights, go nuts. But just some in East Lansing, some random game. Because at first when it happened, I started looking around like, wait, is Jared Goff in the building? Is he in the building? No. And then you're hearing
it was at the auto show thing.
They're chanting his name at, you know, grocery stores. And
yeah, there was a Grand Rapids hockey game, I believe, the Griffins last season. And they're chanting Jared Goff.
I'm telling you, that's the reason. It is the symbol of Detroit sports.
I wonder if he's sick of it. Like, deep down, he will never come out and say, because he's a nice guy.
Right.
But if you hooked him up to a lie detector test and
so said, Carson Anderson should ask him on Tuesday, are you sick of, like...
Oh, you know, he's going to be all, guys, I love it. But they're deep down, like, okay, seriously. Just you and I'm sick of it. Okay. Because he can't go anywhere. Like, he can't just, like, go incognito someplace and, like, pick up an order of food. Oh, my God. The whole place is chanting Jared Goff. Okay. Don't do anything wrong, Jared, because the world will know where you're at.
248-539-9797. That is the telephone number and the ticket text. And also, if you want to let us know, if you want to rank them, that's fine. But what team who's playing this weekend is the one you really want to see the Lions play? And maybe which team don't you want to see the Lions play? And there's only four teams to choose from, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, the Vikings, or the Commanders, and the Packers.
Rams, Packers, Vikings, and the Commanders.
Yes. So one of those four. Who do you want to see the most? And you can rank them. And who don't you want to see? Let's go to Paul and Frazier. You're 97 on the ticket.
This is a world record. Probably the fastest I've ever gotten on this program. Well, my goodness. How are you, Mike?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. Rico, hello.
Hey, Paul.
You know, it doesn't bother me because I've been experiencing this in a couple of different places, and I think Stoney's right. I think it just embodies everything going on in the city. And let's face it, guys. First of all, Jared Goff just rolls off the tongue very easily. And if you take a look at the history of this, the Lions have been abysmal for decades, and all of a sudden he's left for dead in L.A. We get their picks, and they go, oh, by the way, we'll give you our number one pick quarterback, too. And he comes here, and he's one of the best in the NFL now, and so are we. So, to me, it makes sense. And, yeah, it's going to die off eventually. It will. But, Rico, just embrace it. It's all good. We're happy. We're winning. Look at the Wings. Look at the Pistons. The Tigers actually made the playoffs.
Yeah, but, Paul, if you're doing it at the Lions game, I get it. He made a big play. Cheer him on. You're at a minor league game in Grand Rapids? Come on.
Rico, I was in Myers, you know, at Christmas shopping, and it broke out. I mean, it's everywhere. And it's just people are having fun with it, man. So let it roll. Let it roll, brother.
Paul, appreciate the call. I said, I'm sure this is unpopular. It's just me. I've hit that saturation point where it's like, seriously? We're doing this again? Okay.
What's more annoying to you, that or the wave?
Not this.
Okay. 248-539-9797. We'll take more of your phone calls, your ticket texts, all that stuff. We have the Prop Bet Casino. We got our picks coming up. 97.1 The Ticket.